You're listening to the Jason Greger Show podcast brought to you by Lakewood Chev and the 2017 Chevrolet Silverado. 0% financing for 84 months, plus up to 10 grand in price reduction. This is better than employee pricing and better than 20% of MSRP. Check it out only at Lakewood Chev.
NFL report brought to you by DraftKings.com. Go to DraftKings.com/Greger1260. You can enter our $100,000 fantasy football contest for week one. Enter your roster by next Thursday before kickoff. And as an added bonus, if you have the perfect lineup, you can win $1 billion. True. It's legit. DraftKings.com/Greger1260. Big news today in the NFL, and maybe this is fitting, the Browns cut a player who most think is a really good player. They get nothing out of him, and now their division rival, the Pittsburgh Steelers, pick him up. And hang on, why are you laughing so much?
Well, I saw that. It doesn't even make sense. Like, someone explain this to me. Maybe I'm just a simpleton.
Well, that's why we got our man, Jeff Erickson from RotoWire.com, NFL guru, joins us. Jeff, is this just another typical Browns move, or is this a smart salary dump?
Oh, man, I'm still wrapping my head around this one here, guys. I mean, the fact is the Steelers snapped him up, and they gave him a 3-year deal right away, too. It looks like $7 million per year. I think Hayden's performance has dropped a little bit. Maybe this is salary-related. Maybe this is just there's something else. There's a fit issue. I don't know. I think they have smarter management now, but trying to explain the Browns is over. I think that, like, requires three segments. I mean, that takes too long. But I do like their accumulation of draft picks that they've been doing. But it's really an interesting stage of the NFL right now. You've got, like, three or four teams that are outright tanking. You look at the Jets. You look at the Bills. You look, you see them right away, and you're like, they're not trying to win. They're trading away players for picks and all that. And maybe it's kind of like what the Cubs and Astros have done in baseball. And they figure, like, it's worked. You know, tanking works there. Maybe they're trying to apply it to football. It's the money ball of the NFL.
Yeah, I look at it, and it's not like they have a lot of good players coming in to backfill in that position. They got some youth. That's going to be a pretty young secondary they're rolling with now, aren't they?
Yeah, it is. Young all over, and some of that's good. You know, Jabril Peppers looks really good. Myles Garrett looks amazing. So there are some reasons to think that there's optimism for Cleveland, but, yeah, it seems like it's tough. And, you know, it's just like the Steelers. They're going to get, like, this great year out of Hayden. Pardon me if I sound like a jaded Bengals fan. I am. But, you know, because they always get, like, you know, Harrison came over to the Bengals for a year, did nothing. Then he goes back to the Steelers. He gets back in monster shape and has another great year. It's just like them to get that sort of thing. It just kind of falls in their lap sometimes.
And it's funny because they play each other in the opening weekend. So
yeah, exactly.
Adds to it. Now, looking at, we're into the final weekend of preseason. Is there a team that you're monitoring closely because you know, is there going to be a few veterans who might get the release after this weekend?
Oh, sure. This is, you know, it's cut down time. And the teams have probably almost decided in many of these cases, too. But they want to hold on to the last minute to make these cuts. But, for instance, we mentioned Pittsburgh. I mean, they just added Hayden. That's one less guy that's going to make the team. But they're loaded at wide receiver. I wouldn't be surprised to see them, you know, cut somebody that's reasonably decent. You know, you'll see third-string quarterbacks that lose that backup battle, other teams that need a better backup. Well, kind of claim some of these guys, some running backs, obviously, because that position has been devalued in the NFL. It seems like you can find guys all over the place. So I expect some names to do that. And you'll see guys get put on IR just as a way to kind of hide them from others, and then you'll reach settlements later. You're already starting to see that. And then that's something you're going to want to watch for, too. But, yeah, it's a pretty severe cutdown coming up here.
When you look at last year, the Falcons had a pretty good year. You know, how much stock do you put into a preseason as far as maybe being a hangover with them being 0-3, taking on Jacksonville on Thursday?
Well, you know, I don't really pay attention to the wins and losses in the preseason, but the track record of teams that have lost in the Super Bowl the following year is not very good. Imagine, you know, on top of that, they lost Kyle Shanahan, so their offense is just going to be different. So that's something worth paying attention to. And, of course, their schedule is going to be a lot harder. They're playing a first-place schedule now, and that's going to change things quite a bit for them.
Jeff Erickson from RotoWire.com joins us talking the NFL. We know there's obviously going to be some big name cuts. Is there any that you think are on thin ice in their organization? Any specific big name players?
Not as much as I think. You know, there was rumors, Carlos Hyde's going to have to earn his job in training camp. Well, not only has he earned his job, he's the clear starter, and Joe Williams, the rookie that's threatening him, is basically third string. So, you know, it's funny how that works. I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, you start every once in a while you see a guy, a veteran, that gets brought into one team, and they think, oh, he's going to help out a little bit, and he just doesn't have it anymore. You know, they kept the Broncos kept Jamal Charles in bubble wrap. Some people were speculating that he might not be able to do much, might not make the team. But then he looked really good this past weekend in his preseason work. So he's off threat watch there. But, you know, sometimes the players make that decision already. You know, Anquan Boldin got ahead of the curve on that one with the Bills, that he just flat up retired. And that usually happens more. That's more likely to happen, is the player knows it's coming first and usually steps aside.
What about a young rookie out there in Indy, a fairly small gentleman, old JoJo Natson? How's he shaping up as a punt returner, a kick returner?
You know, he's got a chance. You know, I don't know if he's going to get a whole lot of other work. That's the problem.
Okay.
They got a number of guys at skill positions. So, but you know, he's battling Quan Bray for the job. But I think he's got a chance of making it there.
You mentioned Boldin, like the Buffalo Bills, man, they have made a lot of moves from firing their GM right after the draft. You know, they have a new coach. They're trading veterans left and right. That division, like, I'm a Miami Dolphins fan, and I'm like, I have no qualms saying my team's easily the second best team in that division, because until the Patriots lose, they're still the best team in that division. But, like, the Bills, what's the direction the Bills are going in? Are they going in the right direction, or are they one that you still have no idea what their plan is?
Well, I think it's a long-term plan. You know, I think that there's a lot of upheaval. First of all, it started with, do they keep Tyrod or not? Remember, they held him out of the last regular season game because they didn't want him to get hurt and have his contract automatically picked up, his option picked up automatically. That was one of the things. Then they fired the coach. Then they did the draft. Then they fired the GM. You know, there's a lot of moving parts here. The Watkins trade was pretty eye-opening, though. To do it when they did it, to me, it seems like they're like, okay, this guy's never going to be fit the form that we expected out of him. We better get as much as we can. It's kind of like the Browns with Trent Richardson. I'm a little bit more optimistic about Watkins, but I get that vibe from the Bills. I think it's going to be a rough year. It makes me want to get the New England defense, that's for sure.
I want to bring back a guy that's been around and talking. He loves to talk, Terrell Owens. I mean, he said today he should be in the NFL right now. You know, is that legit? Do you think he could actually participate and be? He looks like he's in good shape.
I doubt it, but you know what? Because of the number of years that have transpired since he's retired, the fact is, you know, I think he's a little bitter about how things have gone, especially with Hall of Fame voting, which justifiably, by the way. I think it's ludicrous that he got passed over for the Hall of Fame, but yeah, I don't know. I'm not a talent evaluator from afar. I'd have to see him do things to do that. I'd like to hear what scouts that actually have a good eye for that would say, but my speculation is probably not.
Jeff Erickson joining us, NFL Now. One of the toughest divisions in football might be the South, with Carolina and Tampa and Atlanta and New Orleans. Are the Bucs a playoff team in your eyes?
You know, it's funny you brought them up, because we had a poll of our writers, looking for sleeper teams and all that, and four people landed on the Bucs, and I was a little surprised by that, because I don't know if Winston's taken enough steps to take them there. I think he's kind of a weak link still. I like his upside. I like the fact that they brought in DeSean Jackson and drafted O.J. Howard for him. But I kind of feel like he's not there yet. Last year wasn't the season we expected to have out of him. He didn't take that next step up. I need to be proven before I'm fully buying in on him. I actually think that Carolina is going to be someone that's going to rebound after a pretty bad year. I think I want to get some shares of Cam Newton at a discounted rate that he's coming at right now. Whereas I think the Bucs, they could be a playoff team, but I don't see them advancing very far.
What do you think Cam Newton has to do? Is it his on-field play? Is it I see him sometimes taking a shot when maybe he should just slide down. Is that an issue for him?
It's always been an issue, and it's always something they work on. The fact that they got Christian McCaffrey out there gives them someone that he can trust as someone maybe that he's more likely to dump off now to and let him make the play in the open field. Because if McCaffrey's looking great out there, guys, and I think that this is the first time they've had a really good pass-catching back that can really hurt people in the open field. So I'm really looking forward to seeing what he does to this offense and what that does to protect Cam.
Yeah, that's the interesting one, and it's – we saw it in last season with both a rookie quarterback and a rookie running back, but they had an unbelievable offensive line in Dallas,
yep.
Right? So where do you rank the O-line of the Panthers? Are they good enough to allow McCaffrey to be a dominant running back?
You know, I think they're an upper third offensive line. I don't know if they're right at the top, but it's kind of hard. Because year after year, you often see you'll see these guys that will make these quantum leaps in improvement. You know, year two of an offensive lineman is usually something that you see a lot. You know, Tennessee is considered to be one of the better offensive lines. Dallas, of course, is there. The Patriots, of course, there. Pittsburgh's there. Pittsburgh's got 5 returning starters and like 3 returning reserves. I mean, they're pretty solid that way. Carolina, I'd say, is more middle of the pack.
What about looking out west with the Raiders? Is that a team you feel can really push forward with Derek Carr?
I think they're expecting a little bit of improvement in efficiency. They've invested in that offensive line to try to protect him. They went out and got Marshawn Lynch so they wouldn't have to throw as often and play from behind. I think they would really prefer to be a ball control team and have a better defense. We'll see if that takes shape, but I do think that they're going to be considered the favorites in their division. Broncos, quarterback position still a little unstable. Simeon won the job, but he had to win the job. San Diego seems like a cursed franchise. There I go again. I said San Diego, but the Chargers are a cursed franchise right now. Bad ownership, really bad ownership. I mean, they do certain things that just drive you crazy. Their equipment manager, for instance, this year, he's been with the team for 27 years. He moves up with them for training camp up to L.A. When they close out training camp, then they let him go.
Yeah,
stuff like that. You know, little things like that are just awful. And they do that all the time. And, I'm here in L.A., and so I see it, but I love the little stadium they're going to be playing in. And it's little. It's a soccer stadium, basically, StubHub Field. And we'll see how it transfers for football, but I just think that they do things the wrong way as a franchise all the time.
Yeah, I agree with you. That's been a major concern. I just saw that story. I was like, wow, that's just not how to treat people in 101. It's very simple. One other team I'm interested in is the Seattle Seahawks. Mm-hmm. I don't have any player on that team on my fantasy league, so it has nothing to do with that. I'm just where do you see the Seahawks this season? There's always some stories about Sherman, and I don't know how it seems a lot of them are infactual half the time, but what do you make of that Seattle team? How good are they? Are they a legit contender still, or are they more of kind of in that 8 to 15 range of teams?
The thing for me is their big weakness is offensive line. We talked about lines earlier. They by design do not invest much in their offensive line, and I think it's actually gotten a little bit worse. They lost their left tackle George Fant to an injury in the preseason, and that's a pretty bad one there. We'll see. Luke Jokel they brought back in. He's healthy usually half a season or so, so we'll see what happens with that. But the problem is it doesn't protect Russell Wilson very well. He's running for his life. First half of the season last year, Wilson got hit in the first game, hurt his ankle, and he was trying to play on a bad ankle half the season. I think it hurt him quite a bit. Their defense is still stout. They've got some really interesting wide receivers. Doug Baldwin's great. Jimmy Graham is great at tight end. If Lockett or Richardson can take the next step up, they could be really dangerous in the passing game. But Wilson's got to have time to find them, and the running backs have to have some holes to run through, and I think that's a big problem for him.
Last year, the Bears had 3 wins, and they were able to get a pretty good draft pick early. But it looks like Trubisky will be the second or third guy behind Sanchez and Mike Glennon. How do you see this playing out this year? Does he get a chance? And if so, what week would you see that jumping in at?
I'd say week 7, week 8, he'll be the starter. The thing is, they spent a lot of money on Glennon. I get it. It's not unlike the situation, though, where the Seahawks drafted Russell Wilson and signed Matt Flynn in the same year, and Wilson just was ready sooner than people realized, and Flynn was actually pretty disappointing too. That's the difference. Glennon's actually played well the last two preseason games after his first preseason debacle, but it is a preseason game. So I think they want to give Glennon a real chance first, but I would not be surprised at all if you see him by week 7, week 8.
Well, it really hurts them because they're arguably their best receiver goes down and is done for the season.
Yeah.
So it makes that job even harder.
That was a gruesome injury, too. We love this game, but, man, it's tough to watch it sometimes when you see something like that.
And quickly, Jeff, who is your guess for breakout team in the NFL this season?
You know, that's a good question. I would say, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if the Rams take a step up. It really, you know, Goff's got to take another step up for that any of that to happen. But just getting rid of Jeff Fisher can't be a bad thing. You know, you benched Goff for the first 10 games for, you know, Keenum, who's not even a good caretaker type of player. You know, someone that was below average as a quarterback. I think that alone is a good starting point right there. I wouldn't be surprised if you look at the AFC North, and it's Pittsburgh and the Bengals. I think that Baltimore is going to take a big step back. I know the defense has looked all right, but I think that offense is just a dumpster fire, and I think it's going to come back to haunt them. So I wouldn't be surprised with those two teams again in the North. Again, the Bengals have to protect Andy Dalton, but I think that that's something they, if they can do, they've invested some young talent there. It's just a question of them all coming together. I think in the NFC is the less clear picture. I think it's harder to find an obvious favorite. A lot of people are picking the Packers. They're probably the strongest team out there, but it's definitely muddled there.
Jeff, really appreciate the insight. We'll talk to you again throughout the season. Enjoy it. Should be a lot of fun.
Gentlemen, thanks a lot. Appreciate it.
Jeff Erickson from RotoWire.com.